Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Well, I'm super excited to have my cousin Jackie on the podcast today. So I don't have to ask her how she found Organize 365. She's heard me talking about it for a decade. Jackie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lise.
So she is a mom of young kids hiding in her car. So the audio and video may not be everything that's cracked up to be, but this is going to be a great conversation. Jackie, can you start by telling us who lives in your household with you?
Yeah, sure, Lisa. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I have two children under the age of four, a dog that's 10 pounds and is my firstborn, and a husband.
The dog is definitely your firstborn. You had dogs before you had kids, and I had kids before I had dogs, and we both thought that the other was crazy, and now we just both have the same insanity.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Totally. So we have grown up together, obviously, our entire lives. And I thought it'd be interesting. I'm going to ask you a lot of the questions that I ask on the regular Organize 365 Wednesday podcast. But because we have the same view of organization from growing up, I wanted to start with that. So I grew up with an artistic mother, and I created the organization inside of our home because my dad was very organized. Your mom is my dad's sister. You grew up in a very organized household, wouldn't you say?
Yes, extremely organized.
Extremely, or like my aunt, extremely organized. Whereas my dad is organized, but he didn't have a lot of stuff. And my mom's an artist, so not necessarily organized. So I had something to work with there. So you came into adulthood, getting married with kids, coming from a completely organized house. Then what happened?
Well, I think it's fascinating. I think I have a very unique story than other people. I had moved three times. Three times in my life. So I didn't own an actual dresser until I was 35. So I'm a huge underbuyer, like according to Gretchen Rubin, but now I'm definitely in the accumulation phase, and the amount of packages that came to the CV household was embarrassing. And now, yeah. So now there's just stuff everywhere with two kids at two different ages. So I can see how the chaos happens.
Yes. And I think knowing a little bit more of your backstory is going to inform this conversation a lot. Like things that I've observed with you that were different than how I came into motherhood and the accumulation phase.
Yeah.
You went to college, you have a degree in accounting, you went and you worked for, in accounting for a long time. I didn't realize people could work that many hours away from home. Like you and our other accountant cousin, like how many hours a week would you work in your 20s as an accountant?
So I worked in Big Four, which is basically like investment banking. So my absolute worst was I worked 47 days straight. And I got a hotel and I would go to bed at 1 and I'd have to be there by 6. So I didn't look weak. My mom had to drop off clothes to me. I didn't pack enough clothes. That was in the height of busy season. So right now that would be what I'd be working through April.
And how many years were you an accountant?
So yeah, if you ever talk to someone like that, yeah, you ask them how many busy seasons they made it. And that shows you how much grit they have, at least in Big Four. It's a real, toot your feathers. I made it 5 busy seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think our other cousin who has the same degree, I think she made it a few more than that. And she is just totally like depleted.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's insanity. Okay. So I think that it is important to say that you have a degree in accounting and that you were in the Big Four and you made it through 5 busy seasons, because you come from an organized home and you went from college into like ultra, Olympic level of working. You married someone who is in medical school and residency and now is a full-on doctor. And then during that, you know, while you were an accountant, you got pregnant with your first baby. And by the time you had your second, you're now home with the kids. Is that correct? Is that the right timeline?
Yeah, exactly. And in between all of that, we'd moved 3 times. And and I was working part-time, but I was not working in the, like, yeah, I stayed. And then the pandemic hit. I had Sophie when we were hit the first 6 weeks, we thought we'd all just stay home. And I lost all my childcare and I furloughed myself.
Yeah. So the reason why I want to give that backstory into this conversation is because we all come into these different phases of life with different life experience. And so what I saw in your experience is like, you literally had never been in an unorganized environment and you yourself had never been unorganized. And then you have 2 babies in a pandemic. And then you're like, why is this not working? Like every conversation we have, you and I is like, I don't understand why this isn't working. Why am I not able to do 84 things at the same time? I'm like, oh, because you have children now.
Right. Right. Yes. I really appreciated that too on planning day when you were like, you know, in my 30s, I used to berate myself and I wrote it down and I still rewatch it where it's like, you've never spoken to me so clearly on like, I have such a hard time articulating what you put into words of like, I thought I would be the exception because for so long I have been, but my unrealistic expectations and I can't for the life of me figure out like, and maybe I just think I'll finally get to the promised land, but I don't know what the promised land is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think that I was a very organized child and whenever I couldn't get everything done, I would just reorganize it. And so I literally am able to get more done than other people are. And so are you, but you hit these phases of life where life just takes a lot of time. Like raising children takes an exorbitant amount of time. Maintaining a household, feeding, laundry takes time. Like there is, you can't not invest the time in order to do that. And you don't not want to. Like your number one aim, as far as you and I talking back and forth, is to be the best mom you could be for your kids. Like that's what you want to do, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I just tell myself a lot too. Like in the beginning, it was like, we're lifting like, you know, these kids aren't a helicopter. They're like a 747 plane and there's a tarmac. Like you can't just lift them up. You got to like keep going down the tarmac. So like, yeah, but in every day, it's the same stuff, but it's fundamental. And it's, you know, the dishes never stop, the laundry never stops, the mess. And you love it, but it's also kind of like, it's just, there's just constant mess. Yeah.
Yeah. So in watching you, I like totally see the me of 15 years ago. And yes. I'm like, you're all going to be okay. So I'm just like, I remember living through it and I loved being a stay-at-home mom, like loved it. And I love teaching my kids and the amount of Montessori supplies that you have purchased. I'm like, oh yeah, that was totally me. Like it was like this project, but at the same time I wrestled with, and I see you wrestling with the same thing that is, but I have this college degree and I have all this knowledge and I can do all of these things. And I want to do all of these things that are for me and also the household and also the kids. And so there has to be a way to organize this so that I could do it all at the same time. Like I keep hearing that refrain from you. Like I am capable of all these things. I can organize all of these things. So why can't I do all of these things at the same time?
Correct. 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 That's why I think, I'm not saying we get along so well, but like, I think sometimes people find us exhausting, but when I'm with you, yes. I'm like, boom, 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 boom. Like, you know, like we're like, you know, bouncing off each other. Like, yeah, let's keep going. You know, what else can we conquer?
Oh my gosh. When Jackie and I get together, it's like our brain cells are like dancing together. It is so much fun. And anybody else around us is like, oh my gosh, how much coffee have you had? And we're like, none.
I know. They're like, let's not put them together. I'm like, did you learn this, Lisa? Are you onto this podcast? No, did you read this book? I'm like, no, I didn't get there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, totally. And so I'm just going to say it for myself. and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I love my children, and I love being a stay-at-home mom. Like, my brain cells needed friends to dance with. Like, they needed to be entertained. I needed podcasts and books and friends and people on phone calls and play dates, and I needed to have adult interaction. And so I think that that's okay. Like, I think it's okay to be happy in the face of life you're in and also be excited for the next one that you know is going to come around again.
Yes.
You have multiple things that you do in taking care of the house and the kids and your side business and all of those things that you are doing. When you decided that you needed more organization for this specific phase of life that you're in, and you've been listening to the Organize 365 thing for a long time, what is the thing that you first did with Organize 365 to get a handle on all of these different things that you were doing?
Well, I think it was an accumulation of things. It was in the pandemic. I was 7 months pregnant and in March, and we had just gotten back from DC visiting my brother-in-law, and I had a 2-year-old at the time, or like one, you know, and the day we flew back was, and like, we had been there for a week or something. So the day we flew back, I was like, I'm just going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to set myself up for success, like do my Sunday basket. And that was the day Ohio shut down. And I went to the grocery store too late, and I couldn't get peanut butter. I couldn't get milk. I couldn't get anything. And I only had like 2 boxes of wipes. And I've never felt so unsettled, because I was such an underbuyer for so long of like, oh no, I don't need all that. And then, so that was like the first time where, like, you and my mom had said, like, you need at least a little bit of a backup. And I'm like, no, you guys just like have too. And like, so that's where it like started. And then once I got her, I stopped breastfeeding at like 6 months. That's when I started in the fall. So I did your 100 days in the fall. And I was like, you got to get your like house together before you can take on more clients. And like, you know, like, cause if you don't know where anything is. And so, and then basically once I got through 100 days, cause like, you were like, Jax, not a lot of people get through 100 days. And I was like, challenge accepted.
Of course you did.
First, you know, and I was, and this is the other thing you said too, that blew my mind, when you're like, oh, people buy things and then they don't use them. I'm like, the subscription. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm still like, if it's $29, I'm going to get like all my money out of it. I think that's like our, like you said, our Irish and German, like, you know, and then I was like, now I see the value of the binders. And then I went all access, because I was like, now I want my binders in line, because I can't keep scaling on what I call it, my unicorn time, or like what I want to do if my ducks aren't in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go back to being the under buyer. Because now, thinking back over your life, I could clearly see this. And it makes complete sense, because, I mean, you guys paid for medical school. So you were working. Correct. And you had to pay mm-hmm. for your husband's medical school. And so mm-hmm. you were always like using coupons, going without. You lived in an apartment when you lived in Cincinnati the first time. Then you went off for his residency or fellowship or whatever you went to the North for. And then you came back to Cincinnati and you have a house in Cincinnati. And the other thing that's interesting, because we were both in Cincinnati during the pandemic, but you live closer to the city. I live way out in the suburbs. And like, we didn't run out of peanut butter. We didn't run out of the things that you ran out of in the stores that were closest to you, closer to downtown Cincinnati, when you are way out where I am in the suburbs, and we have 8,000 different grocery stores. Some of the grocery stores didn't have as much, but it wasn't like I couldn't find peanut butter out where I was.
Yeah. You brought me food. Remember?
Yes, I remember.
You went to panic. I was like, and you were like, I'll come down. And I did. I looked a lot into it. I was like, why? Cause we're still having significant supply chains. Like, we're at 55%, nothing's in the store. And it's because of, like you said, the amount of people that live in my per square foot relative to you, they can't get it. Mm-hmm. It's still a problem.
Yeah, that boggles my mind. That just still boggles my mind. Food deserts, that whole thing. We've had many, many conversations living mm-hmm. in the same city. So you live closer to the city. I think you live downtown because you live within the 275 loop. You know how in every city there's like this circular highway that goes around like the entire city? I think if you're inside of that loop, you're downtown. And if you're outside of that loop, you're in the suburbs. It's not true. But that is my very suburban view, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I have city schools, city police, city, yeah, like downtown Cincinnati.
Yeah. And so this idea of underbuying, and I remember when the pandemic first started, I listened to Neil Howe and William Strauss, or William Strauss and Neil Howe, whatever, I'm dyslexic, their book on generations, but they also have a book called The Fourth Turning, and then they have another book called Pendulum. And Pendulum talks about how there are 80-year cycles for everything. And I knew that minimalism would come to an end around 2020, and we would start moving back more to having more stuff and more of a maximalistic type lifestyle, kind of like the 80s was the height of maximalism. So I knew intellectually that we were at the end of our 40-year cycle and we had to start having more things in our house again. But because minimalism and small houses and the millennials had embraced minimalism like it was their job. And I was like, there's no way people are going to start putting stuff in their houses again. They're going to stay in this minimalistic lifestyle. And then the pandemic happened and people couldn't get toilet paper. And I remember I brought you toilet paper and I was like, oh, this is how it happens. This is how we move back towards having, you know, 2, 4, 6 weeks worth of stuff in your house versus what you need for the next 3 days.
Yes. Yeah. But it was even like, and then with the supply chain, like I got so screwed in the spring, like trying to just get a water table or trying to get was like, so then I was like, game on. And then I was like, so then in June I ordered snow boots, sleds. And like now I'm, and like that was before I did your planning day. And like, I really want to talk about planning day, because that for me has been instrumental. And I think that that's profound. And I am so grateful that you've done it, because you've been able to articulate exactly how I'm feeling of like when we do that time thing. And I'm like, no wonder I can never get to the trim. Like, and then my mom was like, Jackie, no one your age paints trim. And I'm like, but the trim is chipped.
So she's talking about like the wood at the bottom of your walls. Because they don't call it trim in other countries, Jackie. I didn't know that either. Oh. Like baseboards. They either don't have it or they don't paint it. But when you have little kids, because I remember being exactly where you are when Joey was a baby and I was feeding him the bottles. I was in every room of our house and I was looking at that baseboard at the bottom of the wall. And it's all nicked up and chipped. And I'm like, that needs to be painted. Every time I feed him another bottle, that needs to be painted. And so before Abby was born, I painted the entire house, all of the trim in the entire house, so that when I fed her bottles, I was like, oh, that doesn't need to be painted. So now we have Grayson. Guess what? All the trim in our house needs to be painted again, because I'm staring at it when I'm feeding that baby a bottle. Like, it's like you're looking at it, but you don't have the time and the energy in order to do it. And it then becomes on the to-do list. Okay, so you did the Sunday basket. I want to talk about planning day. I want to talk about when you and I went through your Sunday basket, and we've done this a couple of times. But the 100-day program, I love, it is now the Productive Home Solution. I love that you said, and I often say you don't finish the 100-day program in one round. You're like, game on, I'm going to do that. Like, that's so me too. Mm-hmm. And I love the Wednesday podcast episodes, because it's all, we all come to a time in our life where we feel like we want more control in our organization. But we come from a different history of organization. And you came into this season of accumulation as a very organized person from a very history of organized people. So let's talk about planning day. Like, I think planning day, of all the things we do, is your favorite thing.
100%.
Okay.
It is my favorite.
What do you like about it? Just talk all you want to about planning day.
So I didn't understand the planner, because I was like, I have bought so many Erin Kondo planners and you were like, I used to time bucket my time when I was at work, but you're basically, what she does is in the beginning, oh my God, I did have a suggestion. Can you do this in the next planning day? I bought all those index cards. And then I did what you said, that like download. And then I took each one, I color coded them based on your category. And then I did, and then I didn't, and then I did it again. Like if I, like, for example, like your financial binder, then I did it each section of the financial binder. And then I looked at your financial binder and I'm to get funeral things. Like I had to contact a funeral person. So my index cards basically like were like bajillion. But what I would suggest to you is now I go through my index cards every week typically, and say like, what project do I forward this week? Like what?
Wow.
And then, but success pile. of like all the stuff I have done in these 100 days so that we can celebrate what we actually did in the,
Oh, I like the celebrating pile. For everyone whose brain cells don't dance when you talk to other people, you do not need to go through your index cards every week. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's just because you and I, we're kind of exotic birds. Yes. I already figured, and that's the hard part. Like you said, growing up in an organized home, it's like the older I get, the more I realize people don't think the same way I do.
Right.
And so things that just naturally come and make sense to me, I have found do not for other people. Right. So I think just in general, you and I just tend to have more productive lives just based on how our family functions. But yeah, so planning day was amazing though, because you made me color code my time. And I even did, I did 7 days because I work different times than other people. And that's when I realized like because my kids are so young, I don't have like a block of 5 hours to paint the trim. And so then, but instead of it, like feeding Sophie a bottle at 3 a.m. being like, Jesus, I didn't get to the trim. Why can't you get your life together? Now I see it and I'm like, that's not on your goal. That's not that. Thank you. There's a special place for that, but this is not the 100 days to focus. And it allows me to like a peace of mind that like, no, I'm focusing on not necessarily painting trim, but I'm focusing on the financial binders so that like, once that's done, then I, maybe this summer, and like, you know, people paint in the summer, they don't paint in the fall because you can't, and at least where we live, because you can't open the windows. Like, you know, so this is the time to deep clean and come up with your list and find the handyman. Does that make sense? And it, so yeah, instead of it being so overwhelming, I can break it down much more manageable.
So have you stopped your negative self-talk?
Well, I wouldn't,
I've
definitely been like, hey brain, thanks for telling me, but like, I've been able to check myself instead of continuing to should on myself. Like I should be better. I should, you know, it's like, well, but celebrate what you are doing. And that's why I had that pile of like, look at what you have done.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I created the Sunday basket, when I tried to figure out how am I a productive person? It's the planner and planning my work and planning my home. That is totally where I am. But in order to teach other people to get where I am, in order to get you to love planning day with me, which I love it so much, I will pay for your planners when you're in the subscription, because I just want you to plan with me for the rest of your lives. And I know that that's where all productivity comes from. You need to have a Sunday basket, a workbox, and you need to have your house in order to have time to plan and then move forward in these projects. But the planner and planning day is the thing that you continue to do. The 100 days gets done. Your Sunday basket you do on Sunday. The workbox moves your work through, and then you move bigger work and more people through your company through the workbox. The impact and the quantity and quality of the work that you do increases with the workbox over time. Every quarter, you add on another person or a deeper project or a new learning, and you continue to grow and develop and self-actuate through the workbox. But it is the planning day. It's the planning days that truly make you productive in everything, because otherwise you're just a great checker lister offer to-do list person. It's just a never-ending to-do list. A Sunday basket to-do list of 100. You're not supposed to do the 100 days 18 times. You're supposed to do it somewhere between, you know, 2 and 5 times, and then you're done. Like, it's not like you do the 100 days for the rest of your life. No, you do planning day for the rest of your life, and you pick any area that you want to go back through again, or you want to optimize, or you want to make refined in your home. And for some rounds, like I literally do it like 10 days of the 120 days. And then I don't do anything home related until the next round, because it's all at a maintenance level.
Correct. Correct. And like, once you get it through, like I did it twice, I'm on your second round, but like because I'm such an underbuyer, my closet isn't overwhelming, but like the first time I did my kitchen, it took like a lot. It took the full 3 weeks. But the second time I did it, I had maintained enough of it that it only took like 2 hours, you know? So it was like much faster. So it was like, you know, and it was like, I haven't touched this. It just, I agree. Like, that's why I said, that's why in the beginning, our family like didn't really understand the 100 days, but they didn't really understand because we're all so organized. We didn't understand, but the planning day has been instrumental, and it'll be something I do going forward because it just makes my next 100 days like I put on the list, like what size clothes do Easter's coming? Do I want baskets? I want, you know, and so then it's like, then I just plan a day, you know, in January and I go on Amazon and I buy it all or like, you know, then I'm constantly looking. And so, because before I was just a reactionary person, like, oh God, it's Christmas. My kids need Christmas pajamas. And then I go there and there's no jammas. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't get the picture. I'm not the mom of the year, hashtag mom fail. And now I'm like, nope, we're already on to summer camp. Like what can't, like, do I want my kid to go to zoo? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's staying ahead of the flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Staying ahead of the flow. And then it doesn't take as much time. Like you do have to have the money to be able to buy the things a couple months ahead of when you would buy them if you were buying them at the last minute. But once you adjust your budget to being able to buy things 2 to 3 months in advance of when you would have in the past. So like some people may not be able to go on Amazon and buy everything they need for the whole 120-day cycle, all the holidays coming up, all the clothes, all of that. They're used to buying and spending their money on weekly or monthly basis. But once you get to that point, where your budget must have shifted, Jackie, to where you're buying Easter now in January. But once you make that shift, which takes about 120 days to make that shift to where you're buying things 2 to 3 months before you need them, then you just continue on that proactivity of like, okay, it is now March. I should be buying what I need for summer. It is now June and July. I'm thinking about what I need for September.
Correct. And then the same doctor's appointments and hair. It's like even getting my dog groomed, you know, I would call and they'd be like, okay, we're out 4 months. I'm like, oh my God, you know, he needs it today. And now I'm like, okay, I can't tell you how helpful all of your things have been actually of like, now that it's because you have more experience than I do. That's why this has been so helpful of like, you're like, schedule the dentist appointments before school starts. I was like, oh my God, that's ingenious. You know, get the physical, like, you know, don't do it August 1st because everyone, you know, so it was just like, there are all these things that I didn't even occur to me that has saved me so much time and makes me feel like I have my like life together. And then I can show up as the person that I want to be. And then I can support and love people and be like more Christ-like instead of just being hot mess express where people are comforting me. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And another easy way to do that, like if you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't even think about all the appointments I would have to make if I'm going to sit down and call them. The easy way to start to implement that is when you go to make the dentist appointment and they're making it from 6 months from now, book the next two. So you book the one 6 months from now and the one 6 months from that. So when I book my haircut, I book the next one and the one after that. So I know it's 8 weeks for me for every haircut. So I book the next two. Or I was just, I have acrylic nails. So I went to, I now go to a place where I can book my appointments on their app and I booked the next four. So I have all of my nail appointments for the next 2 months already booked and they're on my calendar. Yes. And so then on my calendar, I put them on my calendar and then I put next to them, like for Hunter goes to doggy daycare. So I know he's going to go every Thursday, but I have to keep telling them every Thursday, which frankly is annoying. So then I go in and I'll pay for the 6 week package and I'll put in Hunter daycare and then I'll put paid so that I know that all those are paid. And then I'll see Hunter daycare, but it won't say paid, meaning that the daycare doesn't know he's coming, but I know he's going. So at least it's already on my calendar, but if it's paid or like my hair costs a ridiculous amount to get it cut and colored and blah, 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 blah. Greg finally realized it. And I was like, oh yeah, I got to pay cash for half of that. Anyways, when I was budgeting for my hair, I would put in haircut and then I would put in how much that's going to be. So I would know how much money I have on that day. Cause it's ridiculous. The older you get the hair, it's ridiculous how much that costs. So as I was budgeting and I would book those things, I would also put in how much money. So I know on Sunday, how much money I needed for the week. If I was getting my hair and my nails done, like, you know, how much cash do I have to have for that? Right. And just doubling up. And then, and then you'll get to the point, like with my chiropractor, I'd be like, okay. And I would sit there and I would literally book for the year. And then every place will do this. They'll be like, yeah, we can't book that far out. Like Your haircut, exactly. Your nail, your dog, everywhere you go, eventually you'll hit the point where they go, we can't book that far in advance. I'm like, why not? Google Calendar never ends.
I agree. It's so, yeah. Or another suggestion I have too is like, I see my OB and my eye doctor and my primary care on my birthday. Like, so, And then on our anniversary, when we get our
fun birthday.
But then it's like a whole show where you're like, oh, and then obviously I treat myself too, but like, so then there's like milestone things that you do once a year. And then you remember, like, this is the time that I do it.
Yes. Yeah. And each provider, like our dentist is closed on Friday now, and you can't get your hair done on Monday or whatever. Like each provider has like a day that they don't have. So if you pick Tuesday or Thursday, you usually can get everything done in one day if you schedule far enough in advance. And here's one that you might not realize, like, unless you're going to Jiffy Lube, you can't get your oil changed on, like, when you call to get your oil changed at any of these car dealerships, it's like 4 to 6 weeks out to get your oil changed. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So that now has to be scheduled. That used to be a, hey, I'm coming in on Saturday thing. That's no longer a thing.
No, I agree. And I think the pandemic has just exacerbated that. So it's like, you got to be on it more or change your expectations, which I really struggle with. But I think too. When you said like,
me too, I struggle with that too.
But yeah, I think the hard part too, that you said to me a lot too, was a lot of people have said this to me too, like the value of your time. And like, I stay home now, but I have a side hustle, which is we can talk about that if we have time, but you really helped me plan time, block that out. But like, the time it saves, like you said, of just buying it all 100 days in advance. Like some people might not have the money, and I totally, like for me, if I didn't have the money, I just did without. Like I spent an entire year, and I know my budget to the penny. We spent $14.20 on clothes. So like, I know like my grocery budget was $65 a week for three people, three meals a day. And we went out once a week. Like, so I know when it's like, you feel it up to your neck, but for me, it was like, I was always like Facebook Marketplace. And like you said, going to three different stores and it's like, finally someone was like, how much do you make an hour when you were working, you know, 50 hours a day a week? And I was like, oh, I made this much. And they're like, well, then that's how much your time is worth. Like figure out, is this like, stop trying to, not saying like, just spend the money. Like, don't, I'm saying, but like, if you want that peace of mind and you want to feel in control or you want to show up how you want to show up, whatever way that is, then it will take time, but to save up, but like, it really gives you that control that I'm always craving.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when my kids were little and I was not earning an income other than through Creative Memories and their medical needs were going through the roof, like part of my work was to save money, was to clip coupons, was to go to multiple stores, was to shop the resale shops, was to do, you know, two garage sales a year in order to earn the money to buy the clothes that we need. Like, that was my job. So a lot of times I think we equate work to what you go to an office to do and a certain amount that you get paid. Exactly. And then it's not true. Unless you're like doing self-care, you're working, period, nonstop. And you're just nonstop working. You're either working to serve your family and yourself, or you're working to save money so that your resources go farther, or you're working to earn money so that you have more time. Like, it's all work. What is the work that is the most, the easiest and best for your family right now and feeds you the most? Not what is everybody else doing.
Right.
And so if you can go work away from home one day a week and come in and bring that money back into your family, and that means that you could pay for somebody to clean your house and do your laundry, and then you have 6 days at home with your family and you do the rest, then that's great. if you wanted, like me, I want to do Organize 365. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to come in early to record the podcast so that I still can get home on time to help Abby out with Grayson at night and love on my grandchild and watch TV with Greg and go to bed. And I love that. I love that I'm working full time and I'm grandmothering part time and I am available for my kids and my spouse. Like, I love that. I could not have done that in different seasons. So what works best for all of the people involved?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the best part about planning day too, is like, it changes it, yes. At least for me, it changes so quickly that you have to look at it three times to be like, this schedule is no longer working. And yes, like, it just, it allows you to be proactive instead of reactive. That's it's like, it's not perfect, but like here's a great example. In this month alone, my daughter broke her arm. My son's school went virtual. I am working basically almost, I mean, I would say more than part-time. My dog got double ear infections and I got a flat tire. And I think if I hadn't set myself up for doing the Sunday basket consistently and time blocking, like Lisa, you know, Lisa really helped me. Like, I was able to literally drop everything and take care of their needs without having a complete colossal, like, hissy fit, like an adult tantrum. And instead I was like, it's okay. Like, you have allocated time for this and things will still get done. Like, the world is not falling apart. But I think if you had asked me this a year ago, I would have been like, oh, poor me. I'm a victim. Yes. You know, and like, first of all, you even get a new tire. Like, you have medical insurance to, you know, but it's like in the time, it's too overwhelming. But for once, it was like, I feel like I'm an adult. Like, I feel like I'm a grown up. And
Yes. And okay. So how are you fitting in work? Like, work. Where are you fitting that in to your schedule? Because your kids are little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how much help do you have with the kids?
Well, I lost all my childcare in the summer. So for the past 6 months, I had no help. And I had tried seven people. I've had, but six, like one, I even put deposits down and they just were no shows. And then the daycares now, they have 100 people on the wait list, and because there's just such staffing issues. So what we did, Lisa came over once, we went through my Sunday basket and she really helped me. Like, that's the other thing with planning day. Like, this was helpful where she would made me write down my routines and then we were able to fast stack. And then I was able to time block more time. And the other thing too is, again, change the expectation. So I live my life now by reminders and timers. And then it's like, once the timer's up, even if it's not done, like, my stomach drops and you feel anxious, but then I'm like, this is over. And we pick up to the next thing. Like, it's, there's no more 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. It's like, no, what's done is done. And I did my best.
Yes. Instead of trying to get all the way done and perfect, because you're an accountant, you like to know where the pennies go. I'm like, the mom thing cannot be done like an accountant. Like, this is how much time we have for this. We move on to the next thing. We kind of created like a school schedule.
Correct. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So your oldest is in preschool, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the baby is not in daycare at all. So you've been pretty creative about how you've been able to find extra care for the kids. At the gym?
Yeah. So I joined a bougie gym. I haven't lost pounds, but that's okay. But they offered 2 hours. Don't tell my husband. I don't think he listens, but they offered 2 hours of daycare for you to like work out and shower. And sometimes I do that. But that is also where I've gone to, like, I've worked around Sophie's nap and then I take the kids there and I've worked there. And I get up in the morning, but it's just been very helpful for me too. Like, even if I have 15 minutes, then I go to the card and I, like, the thing I struggle with Lisa, which I still don't believe her on, is the three things a day. I'm like, no, ma'am.
I need to get three things done before. Let's discuss that. let's discuss the three things a day. But I think what you were starting to say is you go to your card. So the timer goes off and you go to your card and you know what's next. Having the plan, like knowing that this is what I'm doing today and here are the time blocks. And when the timer goes off, I go this next thing and the next thing and the next thing. We spend so much time, an exorbitant amount of time thinking about what we're going to do next and debating in our head about what next thing would be best. It's so much mental energy and literal physical time. And that's what you lose. Like if you plan out your day, try it. For tomorrow, look at your calendar and literally write a schedule as if you were a teacher and you were going to run your students through the day. Like you're going to do this and then you're going to do this and then you're going to do this. I guarantee you, you'll get twice as much done tomorrow than you've ever gotten done before. Even at work, when I do that the night before for the next day, I get an extra two or three projects done every single day because also I think about it all night before I get to it the next day. And I already have a lot of the mental already done, but the top three, okay, we got to talk about the top three. So in the planner every week, it's like top three for every day. And for a lot of people, Jackie, putting three things down is overwhelming. To get three things done is overwhelming. And then Jackie argues with me, three is not enough. I need 27 things. Why are there only three things? I have three things done by 6 a.m. I don't understand. So for both of those of you that think three things is overwhelming and you think three things is not enough, here is what I would say to you. If you think three things is overwhelming, you're picking three things that are too big. If you think three things are not enough, you're picking three things that are too small. So productivity is all about being able to do more in general, not just to do more yourself, but to be able to use your resources, all of the resources available to you. So in Organize 365, I get three things done in the workday, and I usually cannot get more than three things done in the workday, but there are 20 people who work here. So we get 60 things done a day. See what I'm saying? So because we've grown a company, the ability that I can make in a day is 60 things a day, even though I'm only doing three things. And when I'm saying I do three things, yesterday I did meetings with my team. That was one thing, but I had seven meetings. I recorded podcasts, which was one thing, but I recorded four podcasts. It's more categories, three categories, not three individual things. Now, in the beginning, in the very, very beginning, when you're doing this, it is literally three things. I'm going to record three podcasts. I'm going to do a meeting, a podcast, and I'm going to do my laundry. It literally is trying to get to where you can do three things at the end of the day where you say, I recorded a podcast, I had a meeting, I did the laundry. But as increase your productivity, then it is podcasts is one. How many podcasts? I can do five podcasts in one day. Now, sometimes that's all I get done is podcasts. I get five done. If it's an Organized 365 podcast, like today, I'm getting four Wednesday podcasts recorded. I have a leadership meeting and I'm recording videos for the company. So again, four podcasts in one day, but these podcasts for me, you guys fill out the show notes before you come in. They get scheduled automatically. Pat makes sure everything's printed out. It's just like a meeting for me. Like I could do eight Wednesday podcasts in one day and it energizes me. It does not deplete me. But when I started the podcast, it would take me all day to do one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point too, because the what you're trying to do as well is create a relationship with yourself, where instead of you, like I call it shitting on yourself, you have your back. And so, yeah, you need to start with three and then you can be like, good job, you get on ya. Like, and then maybe I could do four. And it's like, what's that? Like things in motion, stay in motion. Yes. But like you and I never, but some people don't, and we need to stop sometimes. That's why we have our spouses who tell us to stop. But, yeah, that's right. Cause you want to get,
okay. I'm going to pull you back though. I'm not going to let you have four. And the reason why I'm not going to let you have four, because you know what you do is then you start to get the number. Okay, well, I did four. Can I do five? Can I do six? Can I do seven? No, that's not the point. The point is not to do seven. The point is to do three at a higher level, at a deeper level, or to do more. Like you want to go an inch wide and a mile deep, not a mile wide and an inch deep, because then you just feel like you're depleted and you have nothing to show for it for the end of the day, because you're like, you checked all these things off the to-do list, but what is the deliverable at the end of the day? So your house can be your number one. Like, okay, today I'm doing laundry and the next day I'm doing meal planning and the next day I'm doing this. And then, you know how I taught you how to bucket. So for, let's say Wednesday is errand day. And that means you're going to do, number one is I'm going to do errand day, which may take 3 hours and come home and put all that stuff away. And then I'm also going to prepare all the foods and get everything ready for the week. So that's number two. And then number three is I'm going to work 5 hours or whatever. So taking those things, and instead of trying to do a little bit every single day, how can you combine these things into a bigger task that you can do in one day and have it checked off the list for at least one more day or 2 days? Like, so last night I cooked. I know. Yeah. Don't fall over. I cooked.
Cooked?
So I cooked. Stop. Like, not even baked. I cooked.
My God.
Stop. So I ordered, I was going to make tacos on Tuesday. It was Tuesday yesterday. I was going to make tacos on Tuesday. And I ordered from my click list, and I just went through and I reordered everything I'd ordered before, which apparently I'd ordered a lot of ground meat before because a lot of ground meat showed up in my order. And I was like, guess I'm also making spaghetti with meat. So I browned all of the ground beef on Tuesday and served tacos and put the rest of the ground beef in the refrigerator. And then Thursday, I'm going to pull that out, put in some spaghetti sauce and make some spaghetti and make two meals. So on Tuesday, I did the cooking. On Thursday, I'm just going to heat it up, or Greg will, or Abby will. Like, I don't even have to do it, but the meat is already done. The main working, cleaning, gross, gets all over everything part of the job is already done. How can you do that? On a day when you're going to cook, how can you do a couple of extra things that are going to save you time later in the week? That is what productivity is. Task stacking and batching things in bigger quantities so that the benefits eliminate to-do lists in the future.
Oh, exactly. I think that's what your Sunday basket is.
Yes.
Like, I didn't believe you when you were like, Jackie, I'm doing this study, and I was like, of course you are. But I was like, and then we did, I like Laura Vanderkam too. And I finally, because I'm used to in my training tracking my time in 15-minute increments. That's how I bill. So I was like, all right, I'll just do a time study. And then all of a sudden I was like, holy freaking guacamole, Lisa. I'm spending 23, 24 hours a week on just literally maintaining my home. Like, I was like, I haven't done a project. And it's like, you're right. So then it's like, but then that also, like you said, though, in planning day, like you can't take everything. You've got to start with one thing. And for me, food is like, I make a meal plan and I follow it to a T, because for so long I had no money. So like there was no, like, let's just order takeout.
Right.
So for me, it's like, I don't even have to think, like you said, Monday through Friday, because I've already got it all mealed out, bought and done. But like, but that would be a big challenge for someone. But yes, I do it all on Sunday after I go to church, so that the rest of the week I can just, like you said, I can go to an emergency vet appointment because I already have my crock pot done.
So then meal planning should never be one of your top three, or the cooking or the cleaning up of it. It should never be one of your top three, because you have taken that to the level where it is now just a habit and part of your regular life. That's no longer one of your top three for the day. Your top three for the day are things that you are either creating from scratch, or you are optimizing, or you are using to move forward into something else. So if you don't have a routine for laundry and you have like nothing on laundry, then take 60 days and figure your laundry out. Buy more socks and underwear, get rid of the clothes that you don't use, either fix and mend everything that needs to be fixed and mended, or just get rid of it. Figure out the best days of week to do your laundry, and in which order, and if you're going to put them away or just store it in the laundry room in clean laundry baskets, because that works better too. Like, decide it. And laundry can be like your number one for 60 days. And then laundry should never show up in your top three again, because you've decided what you're going to do with the laundry, and that's habitualized now.
But what, I have a follow-up question though for you.
Yes.
That makes more sense, because it seems like, but my issue is, and maybe you can help me, I'm hoping, it's like, I call them boomerangs, where it's like, you try it forward and then it shoots right back. And you're like, oh my God, could we just, like, I call the boomerang emails, because like every Sunday I'm like, get through the things. And then I respond, and then someone responds back, and I'm like, oh my God, it's back in my inbox. What do you do with the boomerangs?
Well, I have Pat, which is a legitimate answer. I'm sorry, but that is a legitimate answer, because the more productive you become, the more impact and influence you have, and the more you have to just eliminate some of those things altogether, because people are people. So obviously not everybody has Pat, although I think that you should. Anyways, then what you do is you just use in your Gmail and you do schedule send. So then you reply back, oh my gosh, so nice. Thank you so much for that. And you schedule it to send like 3 days from now. So they'll get an email 3 days from now and they're going to boomerang back to you again. And you're like, okay, I'm ready to boomerang this back again. So there are technologies that you can use in place of having an actual person. But that is legitimate because when you were working for the Big Four and you were billing out at 15-minute increments, you were inside of an organization where everyone was very specialized inside of that building. Like you didn't empty your trash. You didn't clean the bathrooms in that building. And I'm sure that when you were in busy season, I think food just showed up. Am I correct?
Yeah. Like,
food just started showing up and you could just eat.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, because your highest value in that company was to continue billing at 15-minute increments, 20 hours a day. Correct. So if you, when you get to the point where you are organized and you're working in your uniqueness and what you're uniquely called and created to do, which can be mothering, homeschooling, volunteering, starting a company, working for someone else, writing a book, whatever it is, whatever that thing is you're uniquely called and created to do, there will come a time where that unique thing that you're called and created to do will be more important and be worth the financial investment to have some of these other things that you used to do. And not that you don't love them, but are not necessary. Like, I know how to clean my house. I can clean my house. I do not clean my house. And it's not because I'm like too good to clean my house. I used to clean other people's houses. It's because I don't want to spend 4 or 5 hours a week cleaning my house when I could be using that time literally driving to get onion rings, listening to podcasts and thinking about the next thing for Organize 365. That is better for my family and better for my company than that I clean my own house. And so, you know, there will come a point where I just know it, where you will have an assistant, Jackie, and they will do all of the things. I mean, I had one in Creative Memories 5 hours a week. And she would come over and she would prepare my newsletters. And like if you are a highly productive person who is working in your zone of genius and you realize the impact that you can make on the world, then you have to at some point start to realize that not all tasks are created equal. And either you can completely eliminate them because no one will know or no one will care, like how often I change my bed sheets.
Yeah, you said
you will hire it because it is important for the cleanliness of our family. Our house does need to be cleaned. And I frankly enjoy a clean house. And so it is worth the money. And Greg agrees. He totally loves when the house gets cleaned. He's like, oh, is this a house clean today? Like, he loves it. And we pay for our dog to go to daycare on that day. So it costs even more. And we don't care. We love it. And at this point in our life, we're willing to spend the time and money for that so that we don't do it.
Yeah. You said this to me. I just need to keep repeating it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause you have 20 years on me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 10. Jeez. I don't know. Sorry.
Jeez, Jackie. You only have 20 years.
Oh, sorry. It's 15, so sorry. Oh, totally wrong. I'm sorry. I take it back.
In my mind though, we're the same age.
We are.
All right. Well, we could talk forever. Obviously, this is kind of like Emily and I on the podcast. I know we went completely off script on this one, but I knew that I know a lot of Jackie's backstory and I know that she is open to sharing it. One other question I have for you, Jackie, and we've had this conversation. It has taken you a long time to purchase the Organize 365 products. And you were really resistant to the binders. And now I think you either have them or you're getting them. What was the resistance to purchasing the products? And do you have any feedback on the binders yet?
I feel bad. I'm sorry.
I think this is great.
I'm a notorious underbuyer. And the really thing I think, I don't even know if it's still up there, your Sunday Basket podcast. So I kind of created my own in the beginning and it was a godsend within residency. I mean, we could talk forever, but I did your pseudo medical binder before I could pay for it. And then, and it really helped me when we moved to 3 different states and I could advocate for my son. And you're right. Like even in your podcast this morning that dropped where you're like, people take you seriously when you have your paper in line and you're like, you don't back down. And silence is golden when you have the paper, because that saved me. Cause we went to six different pediatricians in the first year of his life. And he was quoted failure to thrive as if I was negligent because he got so sick. And I was like, no, I'm not playing this game anymore. And it was because of your podcast of like, and talking to you, like you need to show up as if this is your full-time job, as if like I was presenting in business, because documentation is always key. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you get your documentation in line, no one will mess with you. And then finally, I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I'm scrappy. And then I wasn't doing it. And so then finally I was like, you know what? I want to be more productive. I talk to Lisa all the time about it. I'll just buy this planning day. I'll just buy this. And then I was like, okay, well, get your house in line and then the binder. So I'm working on the financial binder, but I started with the operations binder. I love that one the most because, or maybe it's just my phase of life, but like yes. I did the after checklist and it was like, how many pieces of candy did you go through? And I'm like, I went through 78 pieces. So now next year, like I bought 5 bags. Now I'm like going to buy 3. And it's like, it's like, I already wrote down how much mulch I bought last year. So it's like very much like, it just makes me feel more in control. And I think I don't, and it's funny because we're both Christian and we're in control of nothing, obviously, yes. But I like how I'm showing up. I like so much more how much more I'm showing up in a calm and loving way rather than an agitated, frustrated. And I'm yelling at my kids less because I'm like, we're cool. Like, I feel like I've gotten more control over my head. And so those binders, I mean, I haven't finished them. I did the operations. I'm working on the financial. But I do think it's fascinating too, like you said, how people who live in California or Florida, like how they have to evacuate. I couldn't even comprehend how stressful that would be. Because we only have tornadoes, but it is nice. And my husband has used them too. Like he's finally gotten with the program. So it just makes you feel better. And you don't have to like go shopping and try stuff on and feel fat. Or, you know, it's like paper loves you. Paper will love you back. It's not like, it's not like trying on jeans, not like going and doing squats. Paper will love you back.
You're hilarious, Jackie. I love spending time with you.
It's true though. Like, God, if I have to do another squat, geez, big deal. Yeah.
All right. We got to wrap it up. Anything you want to share, like what you have more of, what you have less of, what you wish you knew sooner, any of that, or what people should do getting started?
I mean, I think I would challenge people. Your program's $1,000. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like a lot to me. I was like, wow. But if you really, it's again, the time, how much is your hourly rate? How much do you value your time? Because I used to try and solve all my problems as if I was still like working at the ice cream shop when I was 16. And instead of being like, I want to connect with my husband when we have such a limited amount of time. I don't want to be cleaning my house and being like resentful. Like, did you see the oven's clean? Instead of just being like, no, I got to bake cookies with my child because I ordered the brownie mix. And so it's given me a peace of mind that cannot be explained until you've done it. And like, this is a lifelong thing. So don't do like all or nothing, black or white. Like I either have to be perfect or nothing at all. Because even if you just take like you said, like progress over perfection, and you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish in a year instead of like, cause I'm a hare. Like I like am like run, 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 trip. But my sister Rachel's like a tortoise, right? And so she's like, oh, we call her a pokey puppy. This is a tangent. But Rachel can get a lot more done consistently than I used to be able to. So this has helped me be more of a like a tortoise in a good way of like picking and choosing what I want to focus on and truly, like you said, going that mile deep then rather than the inch across.
Yeah. Yeah. Jackie, I love you so much.
Oh my God. I didn't even answer any of your questions.
That's okay. Everyone's going to love it. This is probably probably going to be one of their favorite podcasts right after all the ones that Emily and I talk about, all about our childhood. It's just, it's fun to listen to people who have been raised differently than you and then just sharing how they're going through similar circumstances that you are. So I think we uncovered a whole bunch of stuff that I don't normally talk about in the podcast. I think it's great. So thank you so much for being a guest.
I love you, Lise. Talk to you soon.
I love you too.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.